It's Greek Club at Concordia Seminary, and we're broadcasting today from Sunshine Tower. We have a nice day today, and we are continuing our read in 2 Corinthians. And we are, I believe, at kind of verse 19. We sort of started on that before the break. So let's just kind of pick up there. I actually brought some more notes with me because there's some interesting small constructions that people are not agreed on what to do with. And I think we just barely got a handle on verse 19. So we'll back up and get verse 18. Paul says, "And all things," and supply a verb, "are from God." And now let's describe God with attributive position participles. "The one who reconciled us to himself through Christ," and now another participle, "the one who gave to us the ministry of reconciliation." And verse 19 begins with this combination of particles, hos hate. And this is, I did a little bit more work in this regard. This is where the grammarians themselves do not agree as to what's exactly and precisely being expressed. So, for instance, Blas de Brunner and Nigel Turner both suggest that, although this is a construction that's used in classical Greek, it's sort of becoming the equivalent just of hati. So that. So you just translate giving to us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ, etc., etc. I looked around a little bit, and there wasn't agreement, and so I didn't think we'd solve that in Greek Club. Smythe actually does have quite an elaborate comment on this. It's about affirmative clauses and negative clauses and all kinds of things, but I didn't think we'd go into it because it... Harry, why don't you work up a two-page paper on that, and that'll be great. So we'll just take it the way Blas de Brunner suggests that, and explaining the ministry of reconciliation, that God was... Now, each of the individual words is easy enough, but how precisely to put the participles together is somewhat challenging. God was in Christ, and now we have the participle kat alason kosmon, reconciling the world to himself. Just keep going woodenly. Not reckoning, God is still the referent of the participle here, to them, or maybe against them, the transgressions of them. And now, interestingly, a shift to the aorist participle. Katalason and logizomenos are both present stem. This is the present participle middle, aorist participle middle of tithemi. And entrusting or depositing in or to us the word of reconciliation. Now, how do we put all this together? It's often taken as, at least some of these participles, as periphrastic. That is, you link them with the linking verb. God was reconciling, or maybe God in Christ was reconciling, ein katalason, the world to himself. And I think that's probably a good way to go. The next one, you just try to logic it out with these participles. Excuse me. Not reckoning maybe expresses the manner or the means by which God reconciled, by not reckoning against them or to them, dative of disadvantage, their transgressions. It's a little awkward, okay, and now how do you relate the idea of God placing or depositing? The middle voice there just seems to have something very similar to the active voice of tithemi. In us, the word of reconciliation. One suggestion is that now this is a second participle after katalason. So God was reconciling and entrusting, or something like that. The sense, of course, is tolerably clear, but it is a little bit of an interesting question as to how precisely to relate the participles to the linking verb ein. But I think that's the way the standard English translations tend to go, so we'll just do it that way, by making logizomenos dependent on katalason and making themenos sort of parallel to it, linked with chi. And that brings us to the end of verse 19, which we had sort of started on several weeks ago. Questions, comments about verse 19? Good gospel verse. If you can't preach on this, you're not a Lutheran. That's what I say. So, all right, let's move forward then to verse 20. Hyper Christou un presbyuamen hos tu theou parakaluntas de hemon de amatha hyper Christou kat alageta to theou. Therefore, since the prior is true, on behalf of Christ, presbyuamen, this is from presbyo, which means to act as an envoy or to act as an ambassador. Okay. The English translations, we are ambassadors, almost sounds like it's a linking verb, but better would be we are acting as ambassadors. We are ambassadorizing, or you know, whatever it takes to get that sort of more active sense. Now, the next construction, hos, followed by a genitive absolute. That's a little unusual. This one is often taken in the following way. This is one of the things that you can do with hos plus a participle, is it sort of has the sense of as if or with the understanding that. And if that's the force that's going on here, then it really says something about Paul's sort of apostolic mindset. See, we are acting as ambassadors. We're the shaliach, right? We're the commissioned official representatives, right? So, and our understanding is that as if, and he is, God is actually parakaleoing. See? Through us. And given Paul's understanding of his own apostolic office and of the ministry of the word, you know, in context, that actually makes pretty good sense. So with the view that God is exhorting or beseeching through us. And now here's an interesting problem that I remember noticing a few years ago. Not in the first part, we are beseeching or we are begging on behalf of Christ, but the way the English translations run, at this point they typically add a word, and the word is you. We are beseeching you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And you know, I remember thinking that sounded odd. I mean, I know that Paul has his problems with the Corinthians, but aren't they already reconciled? I mean, isn't he dealing with them as Christians? Right? And so I actually think the commentators sometimes mention this. I think it's a mistake to add the word you, but rather what Paul is giving us at the end of verse 21 is his typical apostolic proclamation. This is what we do. We beseech, we beg on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's our mission. That's our message. That's what we do. In other words, it's a general statement. Now, he'll get to the Corinthians in just a second, when he says, I don't want you to have received the word in vain, right? He'll get to them in chapter 6. But but I think this is more kind of the job description or the basic proclamation, you know, of what has been entrusted to Paul through the word of reconciliation. Will?
The word deo, that can mean to bind, right?
Yes.
So is it ever used passively?
That's a very good question. Is this a separate verb? I thought deomai was listed separately in the lexicon,
right.
He said as he shuffles the paper on which his notes are listed.
Yeah, I think it's two different words.
Yeah.
But deo in the active.
Exactly. Means to bind, exactly.
Yeah, it's used passively, too.
To be bound.
And then it might have the same sense as we beseech. This is what we mean. We are bound by, like, I don't know, what would that mean?
What do you call it when two words are spelled the same but they come actually from different sources?
Homonym?
They're homonyms. Yeah, I knew they weren't homophones. That's where you have two telephones, right? but these may be homonyms, actually. And would you then work up a two-page report on that, maybe at halftime? Yeah, right. Yeah, but just related to historical Jesus research, right? Yeah, and to the work of Craig Evans, who is here on campus. So that's a good question. Well, I don't know. I'm guessing they might be homonyms, but I can't say for sure. So, yeah, because, yeah, I've never... Wait, I'm not supposed to admit that I don't know. You've raised an interesting question, but we don't have time to go into it right now. But anyway, I rather like this idea, and I think that Alford's Greek New Testament, either I don't have much on 2 Corinthians in my office, either Alford or Ralph Martin in the Word, one of them suggests the same thing, that this is not talking about what Paul is now presently saying to the Corinthians, but rather this is their sort of message as Christ's ambassadors in general, right? And by the way, there's a little bit of a funky morphology going on with katalogeta. This is actually an aorist imperative passive from katalasso. It's a sixth principal part is strong, so there's no theta eta. That's your key, you know, for the sixth principal part. In that sense, it's like grapho. Or something like that goes ekgraphein. There's no theta there. So be reconciled to God. Otherwise, it's not too hard, I guess. So questions, comments, other observations about verse 20. Okay? I can try, yes. On behalf of Christ, therefore, we are acting as ambassadors with the conviction that God is beseeching through us. We beg on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's what we do. That's what we say as Christ's ambassadors. So, and now we actually have, you know, of course, a very well-known verse and one of the clearest expressions, I remain convinced, of the so-called blessed exchange. So, and in Greek, it might sound something like tan me granta hamartean hiper hemon hamartean epoiesen hina hemes genomatha dikaiousine theou en auto. So the verb in the first the main verb is epoiesen, he made, right? And the direct object is from the tan to hamartean. So, the not-knowing sin guy. Gnanta is the aorist participle of ginosko, right? I think the dictionary form is gnus, which is kind of fun to say. At least I think it is. So, the one not-knowing sin, on our behalf, sin he made. And you have two accusatives, so ton Gnanta is the first accusative, and hamartean is the second accusative. The second one would be the so-called predicate accusative, or in Daniel Wallace's terminology, it's the complement in an object complement double accusative. The object is tan gnanta, the one tan me gnanta, the one who did not know sin. He made that one, fill in the gap, as or to be sin, and he did it on our behalf. And he had a purpose in doing it, which is the henna clause. In order that, emphatic, we, because you don't need it, genomatha is just from our friend genomai, aorist subjunctive, middle deponent, first person plural, in order that we might be or we might become predicate nominative. Remember that genomai takes a predicate nominative. God's righteousness or the righteousness of God in him. So, again, this is traditionally understood to express the blessed exchange. I think it's right. There's been some interesting assaults against that exegesis in recent years, but I think ultimately, as far as I can tell, they don't succeed. It's a striking expression, isn't it? God made Christ to be sin. I mean, it's probably... Let's see. Am I a heretic if I call that hyperbole? I don't want to be a heretic. But it's really a striking thing to say. It doesn't say he put our sin on him. It says he made him sin, right? The one who did not know sin, because he was sinless, right? And his purpose is that we become God's righteousness, which is also a very striking thing to say. What does that mean? I mean, I know what it means, but we become God's righteousness. See, it's good. No matter what it means, it's good. So, all right. Greek club type questions. Don't ask me to make an great long exercise on Pauline theology at this point. So, excuse me. All right. Let's keep going. We'll get a little bit more into chapter 6. And now it actually does apply to the Corinthians. And I rather think that we should ignore the chapter the division there. I don't know that there's a great, it's kind of a new thought, but it's certainly not a great divide. So verse 1, chapter 6, Sun erguntes de kai parakalumen me eis kenantin karen tutheu dexas the humas. And as we work together, it's from sun ergeo, as we work together also, now is this working together with God? Probably, because of what he has said about God actually beseeching through us, right? So this is a very close relationship here between the proclaimers and the one who ultimately proclaims. As we are working together with God also, we are beseeching. And what are we beseeching? The infinitive at the end of the verse, dexasthai, gives the content or the indirect discourse. And humas, the accusative pronoun, is the subject of the infinitive. Remember, this is from dekomai, so it's deponent. It has an active voice meaning, just to receive. So as we are working together, also, we are beseeching you may, pick up the may right after parakalumen and attach it to the infinitive, the verb form. We are beseeching you not to receive, and then you fill in the gaps. The object of the infinitive is the grace of God, God's grace, and then it's modified with eis kenon, unto a vain thing, or typically translated, in vain. See, now Paul is addressing them as Christians. He's not saying to them, be reconciled, because they are reconciled. But there's some spiritual problems going on, and so what he's beseeching them is that they not receive God's grace in vain. And, of course, there's a lot involved in what that would mean. We don't have to go into all of that. So another relatively short sentence, not too bad. Questions, comments? Notice that the infinitive is negated with may. That's kind of the New Testament pattern. So, yeah, Harry?
You can answer this with just yes or no, so you don't want to go into a theological discussion. But when Bonhoeffer talks about cheap grace,
yes.
Is what he means by
cheap grace? Oh, that's a good question. Is part of receiving the grace of God in vain what Bonhoeffer would term cheap grace? Trying to think of what's going on there in the... in the Corinthian context, probably in part. Although, again, I think it's more linked to their relationship with Paul, to be frank, and their view of whether or not Paul's teaching and proclamation in general are authoritative. Yeah. Remember that, you know, 1 Corinthians, then there's a severe falling out in between the two letters, and now the rapprochement and the reconciliation is kind of picking up. So I think it's probably involved in terms of sort of antinomianism, if that's kind of what Bonhoeffer is aiming at. But I'd say it's probably broader than that. So, yeah. See, I can't just say yes or no, right? I just have to. Yeah. It was a complete setup. Yeah, you get credit. Absolutely. So. All right, well, let's just do one more verse, and then we'll stop. Greek is not hard. Verse 2, Legegar, now he quotes Psalm 49, Kairo dekto ep ekusasu kai en hemera soterias bo ethe sa soy. That sounds like Chinese food. Idu. Nun kairos eo prostictos. Idu. I feel like I'm reading Matthew. Nun hemera soterias. For he says, or it says, God or the scripture, a dative of time, at the acceptable time, typically epakuo here is simply translated as heard, and this would just be the aorist, epakusa, I heard you. Note the double accent there, because the second person personal pronoun is enclitic, and the first accent is too far away. There's a whole little book on accents if you're really interested in this and are having a hard time sleeping. Don Carson wrote a book on accents in the Greek New Testament some years ago. So, at the proper time I heard you, and in or at the day of salvation, what would that be, like a Hebraic genitive or a descriptive genitive or something, the saving day, I boetheod, I helped you. Again, just another aorist indicative. You can see the similar weak aorist ending. Ep ekousa and eboethesa. Don't let the theta eta fool you there. That's just part of the stem. It's boetheo. So that's the basic verb form, like akolutheo. Look, behold, which, again, if you had to parse it, is actually from horao. Third principal part is eidon, right? This is actually an aorist imperative middle second singular. But the only reason you would know that is if you're a Matthew guy, because Matthew uses it do about 5,000 times in his gospel. So everything is behold, right? Behold now, supply is the acceptable time, O Corinthians. Again, this is very direct, right? Now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And then we have a participle and about 5,000 adjectives. So we're going to stop here. The sentence actually continues, and it goes all the way through verse 10. So we'll get a deep breath next week, and we'll kind of do the whole thing, and we'll look up a bunch of vocabulary words. So. Very good. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.